You thought Millard, Kyprios, and McLean worked a lot already. Now they'll work anytime you want. Subscribe to the Hockey Central Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand.
Well, I'm going to just start talking here because I think we're a go. Are we, Maddie? All right. Welcome you to Hockey Central at noon along the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network in Canada. And to those watching on the NHL Network south of the border, Leah Hextall filling in for Darren Millard alongside Billy Jaffe and Hall of Famer Scott Morrison. So the beat goes on in Music City. The Stars came out in Vancouver. And guys, I'm not talking about Kate Upton. So just hold yourself right there. And then as well, a little bit of noise coming out of Edmonton right now. Scott Morrison, they're going to have a press conference at 2 Eastern, noon Mountain. Looks like some upper management changes. What are you hearing from Edmonton?
Well, significant day with the Edmonton Oilers, and it appears that Peter Chiarelli, the former general manager of the Boston Bruins, is going to take over the hockey department in some capacity. We assume it's going to be like a president of hockey operations, but titles,
I don't know what else it
confirmed.
Could be.
No, it has to be at the top of the food chain.
Why would he go there unless, right?
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. And the expectation is that there could be major changes in the hockey department. Patrick LaForge, who was the president and COO of the Oilers organization, apparently was let go this morning. So it's going to be a different look by the time the day is over in Edmonton.
Hearing anything official on Kevin Lowe or not yet?
Not yet.
He currently holds the position that they're saying that Chiarelli may move into.
There seems to be a sense that he'll move more onto the business side. He's very close with the owner of the Oilers, Daryl Cates, and that he'll get involved in some of the other projects. There's a lot of things happening.
Not that dissimilar than what happened with Mike Milbury on the island. Remember many years ago when he was general manager for a long time, and then he moved into the business side, the other side of what Charles Wong was doing.
So that's the expectation that will happen. Craig McTavish, we're not sure what's going to happen with him, but as I say, the word seems to be Chris Johnson from .ca, Sportsnet.ca, has been reporting that he thinks there's going to be a major house cleaning there, so we'll see how it unfolds in a
couple
hours.
Has to be. Don't you think so?
Yeah, I think if you're bringing a new guy in, you have to
not
necessarily streamline the organization, but reorganize and allow him to bring in his people in key roles and put his fingerprints on it. And, the timing of all this, of Bob Nicholson taking over control of everything, and then obviously bringing in a Peter Chiarelli, who he's familiar with from the Olympics and that management team in Sochi. It all makes sense based on what happened in this studio last Saturday night when Connor McDavid, when the magic ping pong ball rolled down and it's Connor McDavid. So that's that allowed for a total reorg.
But how about fast? How fast all this happened between
Bob Nicholson was hired days ago.
Right. Well,
he's been in there, but he was just given the title,
CEO.
Right?
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, after Saturday night.
Right. And then also fast on the Peter Chiarelli end of things too. And because many people thought that Peter would have many options, and I'm sure he would have, but there obviously is a bond and a trust with Bob Nicholson that got him to go there without, we're assuming, considering entertaining other offers.
Well, and despite what the Oilers have been in terms of an on-ice product, the net result over the last few years, it's still an attractive organization to go to from the standpoint of all the good young talent they have. McDavid sweetened the pot in terms of winning the draft lottery. You've got an owner who's got lots of resources financially. You're moving into a new building, so there's a lot of upside. And you're working with a guy, Bob Nicholson, who's very well respected.
And there's only one way to go. Elevator up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if you go down, forget it. I mean, that's just obvious statement. That's bad.
But in terms
you're
of moving
go
in
up
there,
earlier.
There's only 29 spots out there.
Exactly.
And they're not all open.
But no, Peter Chiarelli, I think, it's an interesting opportunity for him there. He took over in, May of 06 for the Boston Bruins, and the team had 74 points that year. The next year, his first year, just 76, Leah. But then after that, what did he do? Catapulted the team or helped get him into a stretch run of 7 years in a row into the playoffs and some darn good teams.
Architect of the 2011 Cup, goes on to the 2013 finals.
Well, it was interesting because when he was let go, the Bruins put out a press release. I think I mentioned it to you the other day. We were working together, and I said, you read this press release and it said Chiarelli did this. You would look like the guy you wanted to hire, the resume, not the guy that you were pushing out the door. I mean, it was quite comical, actually.
It's interesting. I guess he wasn't reassigned, but he was no longer doing the GM duties with Boston, right? I don't know if he was ever technically
did the Edmonton Oilers not have to get permission to talk to him?
Well, no, they must have had to.
Because he's under contract.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, listen, the Bruins, look, they handled it fine. They knew that they made a decision to go their way. That's fair. They wanted Peter to be able to go his way. Jeremy Jacobs talked about giving him I'm paraphrasing here, a high ringing endorsement wherever he wanted to go. So it seems right now it's worked out for him. And the Bruins, you know, they're on their way to, in the next few weeks, figuring out who their GM will be.
Well, and to their credit, they did it quickly.
Quickly, yeah.
Don't make people
absolutely
linger.
Absolutely. Well, yeah.
All right, well, we will have that press conference for the Edmonton Oilers on Sportsnet Live, also sportsnet.ca. Another press conference that is coming today from MTS Center will be the Winnipeg Jets postseason press conference, as they were swept by the Anaheim Ducks the other night. General Manager Kevin Cheveldayoff will be speaking. We will go live to MTS Center when that is available. Also, Predators analyst Stu Grimson is going to join us. We saw the Preds avoid elimination last night. They did so without their captain, Shea Weber, yet again, as he was injured in Game 1. But, gentlemen, we saw some conflicting reports about Shea Weber's status, so we're hoping that Stu Grimson can give us a little bit of clarification when it comes to Weber's ailment. But they will be moving on to the Madhouse on Madison for Game 6 as they extend their season, as did the Vancouver Canucks last night in what was a tremendous hockey game against the Calgary Flames. 2-1 final. Daniel Sedin with the game-winning goal. Billy, it was the most complete game we saw by the Vancouver Canucks all series. What was the difference?
Timely goal scoring, and better puck control. I mean, really, and they got the pucks to the front of the net. Hiller was outstanding. I mean, he was outstanding in this game. But you get the Bonino goal on the TV side of things. We're showing that was a rocket of a shot, and then you get the Sedin scoring a goal that, in theory, you don't always see them score. I mean, it was good movement off the faceoff. Daniel gets to the front of the net, beats his man to the puck. What was the difference is the fact that they played a smart game. They didn't get caught up in a lot of the stuff. It didn't have the emotional.
The extracurriculars seemed muted last night as both teams.
I just don't know if you can do that every single game, despite the fact the league has also tried to temper it just a little bit. Some of the shenanigans, you know, somebody asked me, you know, where was Ferland last night? Well, he still was involved. He had a few big hits, but you can't play at that mock 10 level. You know, you want Mach 5 if you can, which is the big one, but you know what I mean? It's just hard to do all the time. And, you know, I think that they just played a really, sounds kind of boring and cliche, just a solid game from start to finish.
Skill, smart.
Well, they stuck to what they do best. Yes. And I don't think they're a team that necessarily wants to get into that extracurricular type of stuff. I don't think that's playing to their strength. That's distraction.
They have a few guys that are Dorsett's happy to do that, but even that,
Burrow's in the lineup for them, which, you know, is an additive for that role.
It's funny. Do you guys think, though, that Vancouver now, wrestled away the series, even though, you know what I mean, they're down, they get that game.
I think it's a must-win for Calgary heading into the Dome in Game 6. I mean, I know technically it's
not a must-win,
but I think
Calgary all year. I mean, you know what I mean? We talked about it yesterday, but I've been doubting them all in the sense of, oh, they can't keep doing it. Oh, they can't keep doing it. I mean, I have a ton of respect for them, and I've said that hundreds of times. So now I'm saying to myself, well, it's going to be a huge game, and they're going home, but why should I doubt them? I mean, I'm, of course, anything can happen, but they've proven many people wrong. And good for Ryan Miller, too, again, on the TV side of things, showing things here. Good for Ryan Miller. Just like the team, I thought, a very efficient game out of Ryan Miller.
Yeah, gave up that early goal, but then Scott, 20-save performance. It was just his second start since February 22nd. The goaltender and the $18 million paycheck, getting it done for them.
Well, I mean, he's the guy that they signed for a reason. And, he needed time to get comfortable in the – we watched him when he had his relief performance that, you know, he's struggling to get up off the ice and all the rest of it. So conditioning-wise, he's probably at the best since he got back. And he's the guy, again, that you brought in for a reason and the guy that you would hope would lead you to a victory in a playoff series. But, yeah, Billy makes a great point, is that how many times this year, going back to the first week of the season, have we wondered about, is this it for the Calgary Flames? They're just such a resilient team. And going home, I like their chances.
I will say this, though, about the Flames last night. Jonas Hiller, I've watched every single Calgary Flames game as host for them on Sportsnet, and that was by far the best performance I have seen by their goaltender. 41 saves in it. You need your goalie to come into a series and steal a game. Hiller stole that game for them, but yet Calgary couldn't rely on their signature third period and those third period goals to overcome the deficit and win this hockey game. Does that concern you guys at all?
No. It doesn't right now. I mean, talk to me on Monday if they lose.
If they lose game six.
Right, but because, again, you want it to happen. You think it's going to happen now every game. It can't happen every game. It wasn't like they got blown out. Vancouver was the better team, and hence Vancouver won the game. And I thought Willie Desjardins and his team had a great showing out there. And of course they've got a chance tomorrow night, but you know, the Calgary Flames, it doesn't worry me that they couldn't come back in one game. And did they waste a sparkling effort? No, sometimes you need your goalie to be great, and he was.
All right, well, it's now 3-2 for the Flames. They're going to head back to the Saddle Dome to have game six on Saturday. They're 2-0 at the Dome this season for those Flames, so they'll try to make it perfect and close out that series. But you don't want to go back to Rogers Arena for game
seven.
No,
you don't want that. You'd now have lost then a couple of games in a row. No, you don't want that. But what, that game's at the CBC on 9 o'clock, right? 9 Eastern. Saturday.
Yeah,
I believe that came out this morning. Those times.
Still TBD because we weren't quite sure how these.
I know there's
were
an afternoon game between the Islanders and Washington. I don't know if that segues for you into another conversation or not.
Not yet. Soon, okay. Billy. But thank you for helping me out there.
3 o'clock Eastern time. 3 o'clock Eastern time. I know the Isles and Washington play on Saturday, and
such
I think
a TV guy.
9 o'clock on Saturday is when on CBC you have the Calgary Flames and Vancouver Canucks.
All right. Well, another team that staved off elimination last night was the Nashville Predators, a 4-2 decision over the Chicago Blackhawks. And as we mentioned, they did so without their captain Shea Weber, who's still out with injury. But they also did it by riding the back of their young rookie Philip Forsberg. He recorded his first career hat trick, actually the franchise's first career playoff hat trick. Apparently, guys, he didn't like being left off the Calder Trophy candidates list. What'd you think of the performance by the Rook?
Well, outstanding. I mean, he's had a great season. It looked like at one point, maybe February, March, that he hit the wall a little bit and his production fell off. But you see that often with young players and young players who aren't used to playing the length of an NHL season. But he put on a show last night when they needed him most. And you knew it was going to be a tough out for the Chicago Blackhawks going up against a very good Nashville team that wasn't going to roll over.
I thought it was a great game from Forsberg, and I'm not going to take anything away from a hat trick, even though one was an empty netter. Yep. So what? Still a hat trick, right? But to me, getting Mike Fisher back unexpectedly right there and getting Pecorine to play like Pecorine, the Hawks didn't have it. We talked yesterday, and I thought it was going to be hard for the Hawks to win that game in general. I still think the Hawks win the series. Mm-hmm. Okay. Big analysis. Thank you. I know. But I thought Pecorine was not – he's looked sloppy at times. And, you know, he's athletic.
A lot of pucks going through the through him.
And moving. I mean, he doesn't contain his – it, and he's too good of a goaltender to continue going like that. But the last part of the season, it was failing him at times. And I thought he was really good last night, Leanne. But I think getting the jolt of Fisher back and the other players, you know, Colin Wilson's
been real good.
Really
five
good.
Goals now. Tied for the
Neil
Stanley
now
Cup
has a couple
leads.
Of, you know, it's like, so you feel better about that. Yeah, Forsberg gets the attention because of the hat trick, and he should get a lot of attention. But I thought it was not a one-man band. It was a
big
team.
Victor Stahlberg, also a really good performance by him. He's been very physical in this series.
He's finally playing, you know, one of the knocks on him always is his inconsistency and his kind of going off on his own program a bit. And that, remember, the Hawks had him, and then he got signed to the big free agent deal in Nashville, and then he was injured, and he got sent to the minors, et cetera. And, you know, special skill, tons of speed. It's the old toolbox thing. He put it together last night. I've been very impressed with him.
Now, do you have an issue that he wasn't in the final three, Forsberg, for the Calder? Goudreau, Stone, and Ekblad?
No, I think I know he got knocked out by Stone's tremendous second half run. Look at a lot of things that we talk about rookie of the year is how do you continue to progress through the year? Because we always talk about the rookie plateau, and Goudreau continued he had such great publicity about him and deserved it. Mm-hmm. Everybody thought he'd kind of level off, right? And all he did was get better. Stone went from okay to good to oh my God, good, the last part of the year. And then Ekblad was a man-child all year long. Now people say, well, what about Forsberg? He was excellent too. He was, but he tailed off. You mentioned it a moment ago, and I think that's what did him in for candidacy there.
Yeah, he would have been in the five on the ballot, but
no question,
not in the final three.
And also in this game, you know, this was a hockey game that was tied 1-1 after 40 minutes, and then Predators come out, boom, 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 against Scott Darling.
3 minutes,
two,
right?
Exactly. 2 minutes and 27 seconds, to be exact, Billy. But Darling gives up 4 goals on 28 shots. Darling in net in game six, or do they go back to Corey Crawford?
Darling.
Darling?
Yeah, for me, it's Darling. Yeah.
I mean, he's still 3-1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a team loss, not a goalie loss.
All right.
Yeah, I'd be surprised
shocked
if Joel Quenneville goes with Crawford. And that does not mean that Corey Crawford will not play in the playoffs again. It just means that somebody was talking about, well, if you go back to Darling in this game and he's awful, then you've got to go to Crawford in game seven. Well, you know what? You can't think about losing. You think about winning this game. You say, who's going to give us the best chance to win this game? I think, in my estimate, it's Darling for that one.
Yeah, I go back with him as well. But the leash is short. I'm thinking winning, but the leash is short, just in case.
Just how short, Scott?
I think if you get a bad goal early, then I might be looking to make a change.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right, well, let's head over to the Atlantic Division, a series that went on at Joe Louis Arena last night. Tampa Bay and Detroit, and the Bolts went into this game down 2-1 in the series. We're talking about the league's best offense in the regular season. Can't figure out Peter Mrazek for over 208 minutes. And then they come out, and in a buck 17, they tie this hockey game down 2-0, and they force overtime. And Tyler Johnson opened the offense, closed the offense with the OT winner. What did you guys think of this young centerman's performance?
Tampa was dead. Mm-hmm. They were done. This thing wasn't going to end pretty for them if they didn't find their way. And Tyler Johnson took that game in his hands, in control, his speed, just amazing. And the best second line in hockey, which is really a first line, took over that game and saved the day for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Up until the 12:32 mark of the third period, and starting from the drop of the puck of the third to the 12:32 mark, the Lightning had two shots on goal, if I remember correctly. And then there was a little bit of a brouhaha along the wall where Tyler Johnson gets thumped. Luke Glendening was in there. Alex Killorn came in, didn't like what happened to Tyler Johnson when he had gotten hit. And then a big scrum ensues, a big pile, or, you know, that the old the hockey rugby pile, and skates flying, and everybody getting involved. And that's not the Detroit Red Wings style, but they were trying to be more physical, and they were in game three, and they tried to do it more in game four. Something about that ignited Tampa. Because after that, you know, they had no goals, as you mentioned before. They scored their goals. They had, I think it was, again, I'm awful with numbers, so forgive me. I think it was seven shots in the remainder of that period, and they scored it on two of those goals. Johnson was unquestionably the best, but you can't play at that pace and not have line mates to be able to keep up with you. And Palat can keep up with them, and Kucherov. And on the game-winning goal, it was 6'6", 230-pound Victor Hedman.
Sensational play.
Getting into the play, right? So getting into the play, making the pass, and then the ability for Johnson at that tight angle. He was ready for his shot the whole time. He was locked and loaded. He was ready, but he kept waiting and waiting and waiting, got deeper, 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 and he's able to get it in. It was a special come-from-behind victory. As Coach Cooper said, just like the way we had it planned all along.
Yeah, never in doubt. Yeah. He said, never in doubt. Yeah, he looked like a little bit of doubt there.
Oh, my God.
Standing on the bench. What about Stamkos? What do we think about his game?
No goals yet in these playoffs.
Four shots in that game last night, and he took 13.
Blocked a pivotal shot, though, towards the end of the game.
Oh, he's working hard. He's doing
hard,
things.
But he's just...
People were talking, Lee, about an injury. That's what they kept talking. Everybody's injured this time of year. Scotty Morrison's injured this time of year. We all know that, right? We're all hurting this time of year. But he took 13 or 14 faceoffs, I believe, last night. So if you have a player that's injured with an upper body injury, right, usually shoulder, or wrist, centerman, they usually don't take faceoffs. So we've washed that out there. And then he was taking a lot of shots. Now, they're not using him as much on the power play in this one-timer area, and they used to move him around a bit more. He's been in the front of the net more, and we talked about it the last two nights on shows here. So you wonder, is it something lower body or not? Maybe he's just having a hard time getting away from Datsyuk. Maybe he's just in a little bit of a slump for him right now. Maybe. I mean, maybe he's not injured.
I think that matchup is a big part of it, but come back to the power play, and why do you take him away from that one-timer? And why are you not putting him on your first
wave? All right, boys,
wave?
I hate to interrupt, but we are quickly going to go back and revisit our Chicago and Nashville series because we have Nashville Predators analyst Stu Grimson joining us now in Hockey Central at noon. Stu, how's your day so far, sir?
Terrific so far. Thanks, Leah. Appreciate you interrupting to get the show back on.
Well, it's a hard thing to do sometimes with Jaffe and Morrison, but I'm going to get you in here, sir, because
you are
the big show. So last night, the Nashville Predators, they stave off elimination. Stu, what did you see in that hockey game that you liked?
Well, probably came up with their best game of the series, really. And I think, a couple of key things, some breakout performances, some key performance. Victor Stahlberg was really solid last night. Fisher comes back. He, a key for the Preds in this series has been tying up, containing the top line for Chicago, Jonathan Toews. So Fisher and the Gostad line kind of tagged off on those guys in a sense last night. Thought that was, a real key. Pekka Rinne, apart from the first one, was very, very solid last night, played a really good game. And I think, just by virtue of the three solid periods these guys put on the ice and probably, the way they eventually got to Scott Darling, there's a little tension in the Chicago camp coming out of Game 5. I think perhaps a little pressure shifts back to Chicago, heading back to the confines of the United Center. Game 6 is going to be, it'll be one to watch. This is really become an exciting series.
Stu, what, in your opinion, coming back from injury, Pekka Rinne hasn't had the same dominance that we've gotten used to saying, oh my God, Pekka Rinne, watch him go. What has been the issue or what's been the difference in his game? And last night, you're right, he seemed to get that back. Why was he able to get back that kind of dominant presence last night too?
Yeah, I, it's a really difficult thing to kind of pinpoint. I mean, for me, the explanation for the first part of the season for Pekka, perhaps that's the first two-thirds of the season pre-injury, he's a competitive guy, summer leading up to the 2014-15 season, getting himself into peak physical condition, and he was just razor sharp. Started with a lot of confidence, lifted really the collective confidence and resolve of the group along with them. And it was just a terrific marriage for the first two thirds of the season. The injury really seems to have set him back and he struggled to find timing. Is conditioning off? I doubt it. He's a very competitive guy. He takes a great deal of care to invest in his fitness. So, as much as anything, it's probably, as we kind of talk and think our way through it, it's probably mental as much as anything. Having said all that, Billy, he's able to kind of in fits and starts recapture some of that early season form, and I think we saw a pretty good instance of that, a pretty good example of that in Game 5. It'll be key for the Preds. They've got to have that from Pekka if they stand in coupling these Blackhawks in the first round.
Speaking of injuries, Stu, any sense as to how severe the injury is to Shea Weber? Is he done for a while, do you think?
Well, that's been the club has played that awfully close to the vest, and you guys saw what I saw, and I see an athlete go into the boards. He's got his foot planted against the boards. He's hit not a real significant, not a bone-crunching hit or anything like that, but it does cause the knee to torque, to pivot. And, of course, when the skate is fixed against the board like that and can't give with the knee, it leaves you thinking something structural may have happened there. So I'm slow to speculate apart from what, but it leaves me thinking just the way things have unraveled, we're not likely to see Shea back in a short span of time.
Stu, for this team now going on the road into Chicago, what do they need to do being the road team to get themselves a victory coming out of Chicago in Game 6?
Well, I think really, the challenge for this group is just to put that same game on the ice. I thought they played with a lot of energy right out of the gate. I thought the contact, Billy, really started to pay dividends for these guys. If you think about it, they go into the third period last night. That's a tie hockey game. It had been tied for a good stretch for a good stretch of hockey. But Victor Stahlberg, in my opinion, kind of turned that game on its ear. He comes out, he lays two thunderous hits right off the bat and ends up dislodging a Blackhawk from the puck in each occasion. and that eventually leads to the scoring chance. This club has, it really, in most statistical departments, outplayed their opponent, just, you know, trail in terms of a 3-2 games lead against the Blackhawks. So, you know, long-winded way of saying, put that same game on the ice and inning from Pekka. To me, that's a recipe for a win, even in the madhouse on Madison in Chicago, Illinois.
You talk about performances, and last night, Philip Forsberg gave the Nashville Predators a good one, scoring that hat trick, Stu. And I have to wonder, did you have a chance to talk to the young man about not being a Calder Trophy candidate and how he felt about that?
Didn't get a chance to talk to him about it. I did not. But I saw him speaking with Joe Micheletti after the game, and he's a very humble guy, a great kid, a very gregarious kid, but very humble at the same time. And you can tell. It's something he sure wished he had been included. I'm sure at the end of the day he can appreciate, given the size of the market, and that is he and his team trailed off in the back half of the year, the back maybe third of the year. You know, I'm sure he understands where that comes from, but, you know, first and foremost, Philip Forsberg is focused on being the very best he can for his Preds today, never mind the personal accolades.
Well, he was sure good last night, as was the entire Predators team. We wish them luck in Game 6 as they get set to take on Chicago, and as always, Stu, we appreciate your time.
Hey, I'm always glad to be on. Have a great show, you guys.
Thanks, Stu.
Thanks, Stu. All right, so Stu Grahamson, Predators analyst, as they avoid elimination last night, the series is now 3-2 in Chicago's favor. Now, another series that is now 3-2, Washington Capitals have the advantage over the New York Islanders as they come out with an offensive onslaught, a 5-1 victory last night. Was this all about Washington, or was it the New York Islanders not stepping up?
Well, the New York Islanders were defensively a little deficient because of injuries on their back end. You know, they lose Vishnovsky and they put in Griffin Reinhardt, and he plays about 1240 to be exact, 1242, something like that. They lose DeHaan later in the game, and
he's already without Hamonic.
And already without their shutdown guy. And I think what you're seeing is the overall size, depth, tenderization, so to speak, of the Washington Capitals forecheck on the Islanders D and come to fruition in that game. That is not to say that the Islanders can't win the next one. It's going to be darn tough, though, without those defense. If we don't know what the deal is with Vishnovsky, will he be out another game? Can DeHaan come back or not? We don't have any update on that right now. Worst case, though, if they can't, oh, my God, is that going to be tough because of the way Washington has imposed their physical will on it. It's become a bit of a, look, I don't want to call it a sideshow. Wilson fought Anders Lee. Got it done. Good for both those players. Now you move on. It's going to be raucous at the old barn in Hempstead.
What
did
you
Hempstead
think of the Wilson hit?
the original hit? I thought it was a penalty, but I think that's it.
Yeah, no,
I thought it was. I thought it was a penalty,
and that was a much bigger man
on Vishnovsky. It wasn't suspendable, in my opinion. And you know, God, I never want to see anybody get hurt, and Vishnovsky's been battling injury on and off all year.
Well, we're going to have to wait and see. The New York Islanders will try to avoid elimination. Who knows? It could be the final game at Nassau Coliseum. Yes, two goals by the young rookie right there.
We knew a Russian was going to be a difference.
Yes.
All right, well, we're going to continue on. We got lots more coming on the show. We're going to take you to MTS Center for the Jets postseason press conference, along with the boys' three stars. You're listening to Hockey Central at noon on the Sportsnet radio and television networks, and in the US of A on the NHL Network. We'll be right back.
Tell your smartphone to smarten up. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. On demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
We're back on Hockey Central Noon on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks, and in the U.S., the NHL Network. Leah Hextall fill in for Darren Millard along with Billy Jaffe and Hall of Famer Scott Morrison. And we've covered the action that went on last night, but tonight, two games once again have elimination potential, and that would be for the Ottawa Senators and Pittsburgh Penguins. It all starts at 7 o'clock on CBC with Ottawa and Montreal. The Canadiens have a 3-1 lead. They're back home at the Bell Center. Is there any way that Montreal doesn't get this done tonight?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not inconceivable by any stretch of the imagination. All the games have been close. And
one goal games,
you've got
yeah.
a potentially a hot goaltender
yep.
in the Ottawa net right now. So anything's doable.
Why not? I mean, again, you doubted Ottawa down the stretch a lot. They didn't have, you know, they don't get as much brownie points, so to speak, as Calgary does, because Calgary did it all year. Ottawa only did it for, what, the last third of the year, or maybe even quarter of the year.
But
why not?
With no margin for error.
Right, with no margin for error. So why not? I mean, I think Montreal ends up winning, but I don't think it's a blowout. Montreal doesn't seem to play many blowout-type games as it is. And I think that, Ottawa looks to try and get back to that high octane, you know, that kind of, you know, Stone Hoffman. We saw him score the goal the other night, get Zibanejad going, get those young guys jetting up there. And if Bobby Ryan could get involved offensively too, that would be,
that's the guy they really need.
16 games without a goal for Bobby Ryan, but
Carlson's been marvelous to watch.
Yeah, he has been. He has been. If he could play like this all the time.
Oh, and physical.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I think it's a close game. Craig Anderson. I
wouldn't
believe
bet
in
against
him.
Carey exactly. Price.
I would, but I was going to say, I believe in Craig Anderson and we'll have another good game, but beating Carey Price again, not him, not one-on-one, but just in general, the team beating Carey Price will be tough.
Yeah, Anderson coming off a 28 save shutout performance. He was just
spectacular. Yeah.
In the last game, but we'll have to wait and see, because as you guys said, Montreal does have the price factor. They are playing at the Bell Center, a very tough.
Chiasson is in, by the way, for Neil. That's the latest update. So that's one tweak to the lineup.
Well, also at 7 o'clock tonight on Sportsnet will be the Penguins and Rangers, and the Rangers head back home to MSG with a chance to move on and eliminate Pittsburgh. The last game for Pitt, guys, we felt like they were dead in the water. What has to happen for the Penguins to take it to New York tonight and continue on?
They have to take it to them and play smart, not take bad penalties. They have to get themselves regularly forcing the Ranger defenseman to turn. They have to get the puck to eliminate the real amazing team speed, or neutralize. You can't eliminate it, but limit it, neutralize it a bit. And, Scott, if they can do that and force the Rangers D to have to turn regularly to get the puck, that will help an awful lot. With that said, it's not an easy thing to do because they're really darn good back there.
Yeah, no question. And the enormous challenge for the Penguins, when you speak of defense, is their defense is decimated, difficult moving the puck out of their zone and creating offense. Everything, you've mentioned it many times, Billy, your offense starts from your defense, and they're missing key guys back there who move the puck well, contributed to your offense. They got to find a way to get Malkin involved. And
what do you guys expect from Crosby tonight?
And this is a stage where he's
got to take
shines.
Over. Yes, exactly.
But he did that at the end of the regular season, even though they sputtered into the playoffs. Sidney Crosby was great.
Did it in the game they won, two-goal performance.
Right. They need Malkin. They need him. I talked about it. We talked about it yesterday on the show. How do you not double shift or get those two together every, let's call it every four or five shifts, maybe even every eight shifts, you know what I mean, throughout the game, double up and say, all right, big boys, you guys get out there. You can't control who, because Rangers being the home team, so what if they have Girardi and McDonough out there?
Them.
Well, you're wrong, but no, but you got to get those guys out there more.
No, I agree.
You got to get those guys. And sometime, put them together. And why the heck not put Sidney Crosby out there to kill some penalties once in a while? Does he not want to do it? I don't know.
I can't see that. I can't see Crosby ever not wanting to be on the ice.
Well,
but
get him out there. I mean, here you go. If this is the end-all, be-all, and this is the end-all, be-all game for your team, you play what many people consider the best player in the world a lot.
It's going to be interesting if the Rangers should prevail. What's the fallout going to be in Pittsburgh? And, you know, and again, I come back to that, the back end, you know, injuries aren't an excuse, but sometimes they're a reason. And they're a big reason for some of the struggles this team has had down the stretch and in this series. Don't you agree?
I agree wholeheartedly. But I also don't know. I also feel that they made some curious moves at the deadline that kind of changed the identity of the team a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think everything is all copacetic there right now. And therefore, you know, they have a short term, you know, they bring in people. They have many different people running it too. I mean, they have an associate general manager. They have a few assistant GMs and this and that. And I understand other teams have somewhat similar, but this seems to me to be a little different right now at the top there.
And the final one, 9:30 tonight, Sportsnet 360, Minnesota and St. Louis. You got to think the Wild, the series is tied at 2 games apiece, and you got to think the Wild are looking for a bounce back after St. Louis took it to them by a score of 6-1 the other night. But basically for the Wild, they got to contain really one guy on that Blues team, Vladimir Tarasenko.
Well, he's been outstanding in their wins. There's no question about that. And when they've had him under control, they've been a tough team. St. Louis has had their struggles, so we'll see whether they can continue that breakout. You chase Dubnyk, who had the most goals against since he got to Minnesota. We'll see how that impacts on him, but I sense a bounce back.
I do, too. I sense a bounce. I sense a much better game. I sense a game that will involve real physical play. I do. You know, listen, Minnesota, if they start trying to match St. Louis grind-it-out mentality, they've lost, because that's not their mentality. They are a very defensively responsible team, but they are very fast. They need to get their speed generated again. Their defense get involved as well, if not better than anybody, especially in the offensive zone along the walls. These guys keep plays, keep pucks alive better than anybody perhaps in the NHL. Minnesota Wild, smaller defensive core, but skates very well. They need to do that in this game. They can't try and slug it out, muck it out, so to speak, with St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you do if you want to avoid having the Backuses, the Oshies, et cetera, in front of your net? Get the puck out of your zone. Get it, giddy up and go. And I expect that for them. I mean, listen, you see a game like Chicago where they give up those 3 goals in a couple of minutes and they lose by, what, they give up 5 goals in the game. You see Minnesota give up 6 the other night. How do they respond from it? That's all. That's key. Is it one and done, meaning one bad game and done? I'd like to think that it is. But I see this series, this Minnesota series, going the distance.
Well, that series is going to giddy up and go back to St. Louis as it shifts back to St. Louis tonight. Next 2 of 3, if they need be, will be St. Louis having the home ice advantage. Do you want to make an update here? The Oilers press conference is going to be at 3 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Mountain. We will have it live for you on Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca as the Oilers are expected to make some announcement when it comes to their upper management. Well, boys, it's everyone's favorite time.
There's the music.
Look at it. I love that they just know. It is now time for our 3 stars of the night.
Who did I pick today?
When Billy puts on his glasses, you know it's getting serious. All right, so since Billy's trying to figure it out, Scotty Mo, I go to you
first.
I'll
rag the puck for a little bit here. Give you some time, big boy.
I remember now.
There you go.
I didn't have to even go into my email. I remember now.
Well, my choice, and we talked about him earlier. I mean, Tampa was dead and done, and Tyler Johnson took over that game against the Red Wings last night. Late in the third period, scores the overtime winner goal to get them back going, an assist to get all tied up, and then the game-winning goal in overtime. And he really dominated that game. The best second line in hockey was a difference maker. And John Cooper, everything went according to plan. Well, that's a great plan when you can put that one on the board, to tell you what.
Yeah. It was a good game by him. I mean, better than good game by his line. They did take it over, and all of a sudden you're like, Detroit, oh no, did you blow it? Meaning they had him dead.
Chance to go up 3-1 in the series at home, and just boom, bottom falls out.
And by the way,
Mrazek was playing so competitively.
Erickson, Cronwall, some guy named Datsyuk, all -2 or -3. They're all on the ice for those. Oh my gosh, can you believe that happened? But anyway, since I remembered who my star of the night was, how about a guy who had 2 goals and an assist, 7 shots on goal? And by the way, those 2 goals and an assist were his first playoff points ever for Evgeny Kuznetsov, who, he was a beast out there. He was an absolute man. I mean, going to the front of the net, silky smooth moves with also some excellent, you know, he showed some good willingness to get involved in many different ways. And a night where Backstrom and Ovechkin, it's not they didn't play well. They just didn't show up on the score sheet. As Scott said earlier, they got the other Russian involved, and I thought he was excellent. And I really wanted to give it to Carl Alsner, too. Another goal in the playoffs for a guy who just never scores. I mean, never, ever scores, but he scored again on a nice angle goal there. But I got to give it to Kuznetsov. He was their best player last night.
Washington's looking good right now.
They're looking like the team that I don't know about you, but I thought that they were going to be a team that had a legit chance to make it to the East Final.
Well, my star is Jonas Hiller. Yes, I do have an affection for tenders, and I'm giving it to the Calgary Tender because he was spectacular last night. No, the Flames didn't win to close out the series and move on, but the 41 saves as they were severely outshot by Vancouver, who just came at them in waves last night. And honestly, Hiller, just the best game I've seen him play all season. He's looking good in that net, and he's going to give Calgary a chance to win every night.
Well, he gave him a chance in this one, and you knew that Vancouver, a solid team, desperate, would come with their best game, and they didn't disappoint. And Willie Desjardins gave his best players extra ice time and the opportunity to be difference makers.
And we had Stu Grimson on earlier, too, so that's kind of a de facto star to the Nashville Predators, right? We gave him a little extra airtime.
Yes.
And Philip
gave
Forsberg.
Him some love.
And yeah, so we're not dissing any Predator people out there, but, you know, we got to spread the love here.
No, Forsberg had a great performance, and you know, it's tough that he isn't in the final three for the Calder, but that just speaks to how deep that rookie pool is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an awesome
You get
group.
A vote, and I know you're not going to tell me, but you get a vote. Who are you leaning towards, Scott?
I like the defenseman.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. Just because
it's just such a tough, start to tough finish, position to play.
There's not a bad choice. There's not a bad choice, but he's been... You mentioned it. He's been a man-child all season, rock solid from the start all the way through.
Really good job of coaching him, too.
Yeah.
Really good job.
But he plays big minutes against the top players.
I don't know. You know what? I was leaning Johnny Gaudreau, and then I was like, I can't deny. I mean, I like Ekblad. I'm very impressed with him. But I'm saying I can't deny what Mark Stone has done at the hardest time of the year and leads the NHL in takeaways during the regular season. And, I mean, that's not a – That's a stat that I don't take lightly. I don't know if I always agree with it from rink to rink because it, you know, subjective, different statisticians from rink to rink. But when you watch him play, you see what he does. He's a young kind of Marian Hossa that way. He strips pucks from players. That's a tough thing to do. But when it's all said and done, it's hard for me to deny what Johnny Gaudreau did all year.
Has anyone ever won the Hobey Baker and then gone to win the Calder the next year?
The next year. That sounds like a... nugget that I can't provide. I can't
dig
up
for you. I don't have it
either,
but I'm thinking back in my recollection.
The Twitter world, if they're really nice, in about 3, 2, 1, somebody listening out there will tell us yes or no.
That's
if it's
happened.
That's
a tough feat to win a Hobie and then, you know, come in and win the Calder the
Especially
next year.
Especially when you're like the paper boy. I mean, like, seriously, he looks like, the, you know, I mean, and he's a phenomenal kid. The people of Calgary have gotten to know him, obviously, and have grown to love him right away, but we had the ability to be around him for a couple of years and doing Hockey East stuff, and he has had so many people doubt him every year. I didn't think there was any way he'd put up. I thought he'd have a good year. 30, 40 points would be great. Oh, no. This kid is.
Well, Craig Simpson might have said it best last night during the game when he was calling it with Jim Houston, just the fact that he's like a little water bug out there. I mean, he didn't get on the score sheet, but just the ability to create plays and makes his
and
own
avoid
time
hits.
And space.
Avoid hits.
And that's why people were always wondering at the beginning of the season, how is he not going to get injured because he's so small? But to Billy's point, he just avoids it. He's so fast.
Well, and you think back, and I give Bob Hartley a lot of credit for his development this season. When you think back to the first couple weeks of the season, what was it, 6 games in, they're playing Columbus. He was a healthy scratch, but it was less about punishment and it was more about perspective. Mm-hmm. And Hartley guided him through that, of showing him what it takes to be a professional player. The work ethic and all the attention to detail, and the kid responded in a great way.
Yeah, came out in Winnipeg and scored a goal, I believe, and ever since then, he's just been straight fire for them.
I'm going to sit on the fence right here and say I'll take any one of those three rookies that are up for it.
Thanks for that.
It's
and Forsberg, too.
Yeah.
And Forsberg. It's just a generic
and again, Hoffman.
Hashtag analysis right there for you.
I have an affection for Mark Stone. I mean, he's a former captain of the Brandon Wheat Kings. I'm a Brandon girl. I watched him play there. He had back-to-back over 100-point seasons. And to your guys' point, what he did down the stretch, which is the hardest time, in the last 30 games, a 9-game point streak to end the year, just... exceptional player.
He plays
all
a
around.
Mature game. He plays a very mature game in the sense of course, he needs to learn, but I just feel like the way that he reads the play, and I guess that goes back to his takeaway capability and his hustle and his strength. I don't know if they've given enough credit for that. I mean, he plays I see him as a mature player already.
And he's showing a lot of heart in this series playing injured, and that can't be a comfortable situation.
Yeah.
No, because he's injured. You can tell by it.
But Florida Panther fans, be happy. You got one of the best young guys in the game, one of the best young D crews that are coming up there. So
first overall pick
not,
last year definitely showed that he's got the ability to play in the National Hockey League along the blue line. Once again, 3 games on tap tonight, 7 o'clock, Sens and Habs on CBC. Also at 7, Pitt and the Rangers as the Penguins try to avoid elimination. That's on Sportsnet. And 9:30, the Wild and Blues, that series tied at 2 at Sportsnet 360. Once again, 3 o'clock, Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. We will bring you the Edmonton Oilers press conference live. We thank you for joining us on Hockey Central at noon, Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks, and in the U.S. in the NHL Network. Have yourself a beautiful day. Thanks for joining with us.